it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast,
a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest hosts a show in Seattle on KJR Radio. He's a fan of golf. He's a fan of football. He's a fan of beer. He's joining us now, Jason Puckett. Puck, thanks for making time. I go on his show all the time, and he comes on this show. This is his first time, so it's not really fair, but Puck, thanks for coming on, buddy.
You left off the last, Kate Upton. It's okay to mention Kate Upton. It's the other thing I love on there, the old Twitter profile. Your audience needs to know, because I know they hear KJR and all they're thinking. I can see the reaction from many people down there. We're having Softy on again. Like, why does Softy have to always invade our airways? Listen, Portland, we're not all like him. Okay, we don't drag our knuckles. We don't have missing teeth. We're not all like Softy up here in Seattle. I live down there. I mean, I've spent time down in Portland. All right, I worked down there for a while. I love Portland. Love it. Love. Keep it weird. But we're not all like Softy. Thanks, John. Thank you for the interview.
Yeah, and I was struck by that the first time I came on your show, because it wasn't all about the Huskies. It was like you had balance. And
yeah, well, I'm a Coug, so you can imagine working on that station up there, which we are the rights holders of the Huskies. That goes over well. I mean, they really enjoy myself up there when we talk Cougar football. Yeah, we try to keep it fair and balanced as best we can. We're all huge Pac-12 fans up here, and we love Softy. We've learned to adopt Softy and embrace Softy for the troubled individual that he is.
Let me ask you about Washington State, because the media poll comes out, and Cougar fans have to be tired of this. Here, there's Washington State, picked at the bottom. That's just always been. Why is the perception of Washington State in that position? And Mike Leach just made a mockery of that, because he went out and won games, and nobody seemed to give him any credit for it.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's the same thing over, every year. And I think if you're a Cougar fan like myself, an alum, I mean, you're just kind of used to it. I mean, I think Oregon State can probably throw this in there as well. I mean, I don't know if there's a more difficult job in America than I think coaching there. I mean, you're in the middle of nowhere in the bottom, corner of the state. It's just difficult to recruit to and to have sustained success there. I mean, Mike Leach proved that you can do it, especially out of a system. But I think over a long period of time, it is hard. You see guys who do have success and then try to, take a bite out of the apple someplace else. Nick Rolovich, though, is coming into a very different situation than ever before, because the groundwork was laid by Mike Leach of success there, that you can prove that you can win if you have a system. Now, it's not the air raid, but it's a run and shoot, which, again, no one else in the conference runs. Heck, I don't even know if anybody in the West Coast runs it. Other than Hawaii is the only other team I think that I know that runs the run and shoot, obviously, where he came from. So you need a system that's unique, that you can recruit to, and that gives you a little bit of an advantage. And I think that's what Rolovich has. He has passed all of the tests and all the check marks and everything so far during the offseason for the most part. But obviously, he's going to have to capitalize on what Leach did. I mean, Leach did lose, never beat Washington. Well, never beat Washington under the Chris Peterson, Jimmy Lake tenure. But, and failed in some big bowl games and things like that. But he was successful. I mean, they won games year in and year out. And obviously the bar was raised there for Nick Rolovich. But I think for Cougar fans and for the school itself, it just used to always be picked last. I mean, it's just how the thing is every year.
Jason Puckett, KJR in Seattle, joining us. Puck, this show goes statewide, and there are a lot of Beaver fans who listen to it. I'm not the flagship here. I'm not Oregon State or Oregon's. I try to talk about both, but I think Oregon State fan probably gets a little nauseated hearing so much about Oregon. Does Washington State have that same problem in your footprint?
I mean, I think maybe to a degree, but I mean, you know, you also got to recognize, I mean, the majority of the alums for Washington State will live in Seattle, but I mean, you know, the same, you know, same turn. I mean, you know, there's Washington, I mean, they're right in the backyard of Seattle, and so I get it, and there's a lot of Husky fans, but the deal with Wazoo in terms of Wazoo football is you got to beat them. You know, it's a rivalry because it's the two state schools, but the problem with the rivalry for the, you know, most of its tenure, and especially in the last, you know, 7-8 years under the great, you know, the very productive years of Mike Leach, you can't beat them. I mean, at some point, the rivalry, you can't just be all one-sided. And the problem with that rivalry, it's been one-sided. And so you can change the narrative if you're winning, you know, every other year or a couple years in a row, especially when Mike Leach, you know, had those teams that were, you know, double-digit wins or on the cusp. I think it was three different times in which that game would have decided the North Championship. You got to win that. And he was unable to do that. I mean, I think that was his greatest, you know, check against him, is never winning your rivalry game. It happens. I mean, it happened, I think, was John Cooper, right? Ohio State never beat Michigan, hardly ever. I think maybe a couple times. I mean, eventually you have to beat your rival. And that's what separates the great and good teams. But, I mean, Washington's success is well-earned. I mean, they've been very good here in the last few years.
Jason, I am looking at Chris Peterson's departure, and I'm wondering what that's going to mean for Washington. How much does that affect Jimmy Lake this season, this team?
Well, yeah, I think that's the million-dollar question. I mean, you know, Jimmy Lake's never had the job before. You know, he's a first-year head coach. He is, but it's like you're walking into like the turnkey house. I mean, it's been all set up for Jimmy Lake. Not a lot of first. Come on, think about it. They got like Jonathan Smith down at Oregon State. How many first-year coaches get to walk into something like this where it has been built for them? Now, Jimmy Lake was a part of it, and a huge part of it. I always am curious about guys who are assistants that turn to be the head coach because it's such a different responsibility. You've interviewed Jimmy Lake probably. You've seen him. He's charismatic. He's outgoing. I think he'll have great success at it. But until they do it, you just don't know. You know, when you're the one on game day, when it's in the fourth quarter, and you've got to use your timeouts, you know, how are you going to use your timeouts? You're going to go for it on fourth down. You're going to punt. You're going to take the field goal. You know, those are decisions he has not had to make yet. And so I don't think anyone, even, you know, crazy lunatic Husky fans like Softy, they don't know how he's going to react. He's a hell of a recruiter. He's great on defense. But I think until we see him in game situations, I don't know if we know that much about him yet, but I think all indications are that they'll be fine. I'm just curious what they'll do on offense. I mean, they're taking a departure of kind of what Chris Peterson wanted to do, and they're going to be a little bit more kind of pro-style attacking. The defense, I think we all know the defense will be fine because, you know, it's his defense, and it's been his defense for the last few years.
What do you think of the 9 a.m. kickoffs?
I hate it. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand it when it affects, you know, Pacific, you know, time zone schools, you know, like they're going to have the opener in L.A. It doesn't make sense to me. I think that we've all been living a lie about player safety. Or maybe not all. But everyone wants to talk about player safety. Tell me how in the world this helps player safety. I mean, you want to get kids up. I'm sure you've talked to coaches about this before. But, you know, I think David Shaw mentioned it today. Hey, a 9 a.m. kickoff, they got to get up by 6. By 6? I was thinking like 5. I mean, you've got to feed guys. You've got to transport them from the hotel over to the game. You have walkthroughs. They have to have their COVID tests. I mean, I get doing it this year because it's kind of the year of experimentation, like my sophomore year in college, right, John? And we've all been there, experimentation sophomore year. That's a hell of a year. I mean, I wish I could go back to that sophomore year. But I just think that it's you know, we're bowing down to the East Coast, and we want to be so accepted by the East Coast. I'll never understand why we want to be accepted by the East Coast so much out here in Pac-12 land. But, you know, they want that primetime game. I think it's unfair for those two schools. I mean, those are two of the favorites. I mean, right, USC picked number one. I think to start off their campaign at 9 a.m., something they've never done before, I think that's an extreme disadvantage to both USC and ASU. I don't want to see it succeed for this reason. I know it sounds so kind of, you know, glass half empty, because if it has success this year, then they're going to try it next year with fans. And then I think that's the worst thing for fans. You can't expect fans to be showing up at a 9 a.m. kickoff. I think that's just, for me, someone who likes to go to games, extremely unfair.
Jason Puckett, KJR Radio in Seattle. Puck, I'm going to pepper you with some questions, rapid fire. Let's start with coaching. Who is the best coach, regardless of talent, in the Pac-12? Who do you want coaching your team?
Oh, my God, that's a great question. Rapid fire. I'll say Cristobal. God, I'm pandering to your crowd. God, that's terrible. I'll go Cristobal. He wears a small T-shirt, so I'll go with Cristobal. God,
a small T-shirt. I love that.
I'll tell you who the worst coach is. It's Clay Helton. That's the guy I wouldn't want coaching my team.
Does Helton have a job at USC next year?
Yeah, I think for USC's sake, no. He shouldn't. He shouldn't have a job now. He's terrible. It's awful. I'm so glad the Cougars got them in the crossover game. I couldn't be happier. Cougar fans were upset. Oh, we got USC. I was like, thank God. Thank God we got USC. They're awful. We'll be fine against them. Yeah, I don't think he survives, but I didn't think he'd survive last year.
Pac-12 Network will not carry a game at least until December 19th. They may not even get games on that date. Are they still a media company in this conference or no?
No. I mean, I don't know what they are. It's amazing they're not going to cover a game. And I get it. I feel bad for those people that need that money and need that job to, you know, in order to, you know, survive. And that's their profession. And it's been an unmitigated disaster. It just really has. They need to partner up. And I know you've talked about it many times before. They need to partner up with one of these companies and get it right, because they haven't got it right. You know, I think the day for me the conference died is when you let Rick Neuheisel walk out and go to CBS to go work for the SEC. I mean, Rick Neuheisel has nothing. He has no background in the SEC, no background covering that conference, none. And he was your best personality. You let him walk out the door. That's terrible. To me, that's when the network really just went under.
How much do quarterbacks matter in this conference right now? Like, you know, are you betting on a team because, hey, they got the best quarterback?
Yeah, I put big money on the kid, Jaden, down at ASU. Yeah, I think it's everything. Even the garbage kid at Cal, even though he's kind of up and down last year, I think it's a lot. I mean, this conference has always been notoriously, you know, about offense and moving the football. So I think those teams that have quarterbacks that are coming back, that have time and have experience, yeah, I think it's massive. I think it's why it's a, you know, question mark with Oregon. I mean, even though they have a system that wants to pound the ball and all that, and whoever gets that battle or whoever wins that job down there, sure, they could probably, they're no doubt going to have success, but it's still a question mark. I think it's a question mark with Washington for sure. I mean, Slovis has proven he could be a good quarterback at USC, but yeah, I think it's always been a quarterback conference. I think it would always continue to be one. And I would put, you know, I would put my money down on probably ASU because of Jaden, in order of them to come out of the South because of his play.
This season, do we get through all the teams, all seven games without a postponement?
No, there's no way. No, I can't see it. Look at the NFL. Look what's happening with the Titans. You know, look what's happening with New England. I just don't see how they can do it. They're not in a true bubble. I know they're not going to go to class, but there are kids on campus. You know, I know there are reports down, I think, in the down there where Oregon is, in that county of COVID spiking. There's a report up here on the, you know, the Greek system up at in Seattle, at Washington, having issues. Same thing over Washington State. Those true college towns. It's we went to college. We talked about our sophomore year of experimentation. It's too hard to keep these kids out of socializing with other 18 and 19, 20 year olds. Yeah, I think that's the biggest mistake, I think, for the conference they made with the schedule, is they allowed themselves no wiggle room out of this thing, that they had to play, you know, seven straight weeks. I think they'll miss a game, and unfortunately, I guess I don't see how they can't. You know, I just think it's going to be too hard to pull that off. If they do, man, it's unbelievable. It'll be the best story besides what the NBA and the NHL were able to pull off.
Puck, before I cut you loose, we've been talking a little bit about the Pac-12 playoff chances. Do you see a playoff team in this conference, or is it another year where we're on the outside looking in?
Well, it's hard. I would say no now because I just, you know, because of all the uncertainties of the quarterback position, there's not really one team coming back that has that signal caller base, you know, then surround them with all of the other talent. I mean, Oregon certainly has that, as kind of pandering to Oregon again. Unbelievable. The whole, you know, but with all the guys that they have, you know, jettisoned to the NFL now, you know, Lenore coming back. But again, they still have question marks there with the QB spot. I just don't see it. I don't see anyone running the table. There's no way in hell they're going to take a one-loss team out of this conference in the college football playoff. Hell, I'll make an argument even they went undefeated. I still think that you'd be kind of, you know, biting your fingernails at selection day, you know, seeing what happens across the country. I mean, their best chance was hopefully to get that thing expanded to 8, and then they would have a chance. But no, I think it's going to be the same, you know, tradition every single year for the most part, except one year. John, we're going to be sitting home. What is it, December 19th? That's when the selection is, right?
The 20th is the selection.
We're going to be sitting there on December 20th, and we're going to watch them do the show, and there's going to be no mention of the Pac-12, and that's it. And you know what? We'll get ready for next year. Now they'll be the same thing. I just don't see a team having a chance.
I appreciate you, man. I love coming on your show. I will retweet when I visit with you on a weekly basis. But, Puck, thanks for popping on with us. I appreciate you, man.
We love you. I wish the montage was still there. Someone bring back the montage, please, for me. John, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. There he is. Jason Puckett, KJR, in Seattle. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Every day on the show, we stand around the water cooler. This portion of the day, we have a talk.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
I want to say that the Miami Heat blew an opportunity last night, but I keep thinking, like, what exactly did they not do right? They held serve with the Lakers until late in the fourth quarter when Anthony Davis and LeBron took over some big supporting cast moments from the Lakers. The Lakers made plays last night. It wasn't about the Heat really missing shots or having breakdowns. The Lakers just made plays. We are 2 days away from Game 5. That is Game 5 on Friday, 6 o'clock on ABC of the NBA Finals. The Lakers are up 3-1 in this series. They look poised to close this thing out. I think and hope, though, that the Miami Heat will give us one more game, a game 6 in this series. Not just because Judah and I had kind of kicked around the idea of could the Heat win 2 in this series, and I thought they would, but because I've enjoyed the bubble. The NBA has won in this bubble era. Like, there are a lot of things that haven't gone right. Like, I run into my friends or I see people outside. I go to get the mail. I run into the mailman and I say to him, "How are you doing?" And we all kind of look at each other. You know what I'm talking about. We shake our heads. We go, "You know, I got no complaints." So there's no point in complaining unless you have real problems, right? Amid a pandemic. So, amid all of that, I have rather enjoyed the NBA. I think it has done well in this bubble. It has protected players. It has given us quality entertainment. It gave us the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals, a 5 seed against the Lakers. There was some drama in this NBA season. A coach got fired in the Clippers organization. But by and large, I think the NBA did what sports is supposed to do. It was a diversion. It was relatively clean. The basketball was pretty good. It was compelling. Yes, the Lakers have sort of run away now with these finals up 3-1. And barring a great performance from the Miami Heat, the Lakers will close this thing out in 5, maybe 6. It certainly doesn't feel like it could go 7. But I'm still giving the Heat one more game. And maybe it's just the selfish part of me that wants to see the NBA season stretch just a little longer. Anticlimactic, Judah Newby, or are you enjoying the NBA Finals?
I've definitely enjoyed the Finals. I enjoy watching Spoelstra squeeze all the juice out of the lemon that he can. Done a phenomenal job. I immensely enjoyed the comeback effort by Miami to win Game 3. Game 4 was a little frustrating last night because Miami, to your point, had a chance to win that game. And I know you say LeBron and AD had big moments. They certainly did, but Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had some huge moments in the last 5 minutes of the game. That's kind of a backbreaker, you know, pulling for the Heat a little bit as I am. It's like, oh man, KCP and Rondo making plays in the final few moments, that's going to be the dagger. But I'm afraid though, John, I'm afraid that Friday night, which is game 5, that's the last one. I really feel like there's a chance that it could be that. And you know what? If it did go 6, they'd still have to go up against Sunday Night Football on Sunday night. At least, at the very least, they get one more game, you know, all to themselves in the national window.
Yeah, and I think, look, I'd like to see just one more game. And I'm admittedly, it's just about extending the season. The calendar's been crowded. And we had this discussion earlier in the week about what is it that's caused diminished viewership, right? You look in the Major League Baseball, the ratings are down. The NFL ratings are down. The NBA ratings are down. And a lot of people want to make it all about politics and, you know, social stances. And maybe some of that is at play. Certainly, I think there are some people out there that say, I'm not watching because of this. I don't want that in my sports. But I think part of the reason that the ratings have been down is because the calendar is crowded. And we're not used to the NBA being played right now. Like, the season should just be cranking up. We should be having media day for the upcoming NBA season, you know? And now we're watching a finals get played, and then they're going to take a couple few months off, and then they're going to presumably bring back a season maybe in January. So, you know, I just want to hold on to this bubble a little longer, because while the NFL has had problems with teams and positive tests and had to postpone and move games, and while Major League Baseball had certainly had its problems, and while college sports have looked like a mess, disjointed mess, the NBA has found a way to make this work. It made it work in the WNBA. It made it work in the NBA. The bubble was a success. And it kind of led the way.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.